One thing we find out pretty quick, the older we get, is that things in this life are very temporary. I find myself quite often saying, yeah, I remember, yeah, it was about, yeah, just the last few years, about 3 years ago, blah, 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 blah. And Karen said, no, dear, that was about 8 or 9 years ago. Because it just goes so quick. And as people told me when I was younger, oh, the older you get, the faster it goes, you know. Well, you don't really comprehend that until you get there, and then you realize exactly what was being said. The things of this world are indeed temporary. The things of this world fade away. The things of this world decay. The things of this world die, rot, return to dust, back to the minerals in the ground. As you go north out of Grand Rapids, up there, I forget about which exit it is, but there's a big hillside up there. You notice that? And there's pipes sticking out of the ground. You know what that is? Anybody know? Pardon me? A dump. Yeah, it's a dump. And they're getting gas out of that, I think. But it's a dump. The things of this world that have been dumped, buried, and then now they're hoping to get the gas out of it that's produced from being buried underneath all that earth as well. The things of this world lose their power. The things of this world lose their strength. You know, there are certain cleansers, solvents, even gasoline, after a while, loses its power. Now, unless you've got an old small Honda motorcycle, which they used to call bulletproof, it'll run on just about anything that has a little bit of combustibility in it. But even gasoline can lose its power and not be very useful at all. The things of this world fade away and return to this earth. The Bible, the Word of God, is entirely different. It has been challenged in every century of mankind, and yet it has stood every test of time. It has not only stood, but has prospered, has grown, in spite of its enemies and their immoral, evil influences to try to do away with it. And you and I see it every day of our lives if we're paying attention to what's going on in Congress, in the government, in society, in local societies, local governments. We can see that there is an attack upon the Word of God to push it away because we want to live the way we want to live, not the way that you, who believe in this God, believe that His moral precepts call for us to live by. Jesus the Christ is God's exclusive spokesman. Jesus the Christ. In the Old Testament era, the old what we call the Old Testament, which is the Hebrew Bible. In the Hebrew Bible era, God sent prophets. God sent judges, men and women alike, Deborah and Barak, Samson. And they were the judges, and they were the ones that spoke God's way, God's will. And they shared God's plans and God's promises with mankind, as they were led to do by His great and mighty power, His Spirit. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews, the first chapter. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through, by, for, whom He made the universe. In many of the old translations, English translations, it uses the word for His joy. And for His joy, God created the universe. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His power, the power of His word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, the right hand of God our Father Himself. Now, mankind has always set out to minimize the Word of God. We look back to the first family on earth, Adam and Eve. You remember their two sons that are written about in Genesis? What were their names? Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. What was the real problem there, you think? Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's... Cain was frowned upon by God. Cain wanted to do what he wanted to do in the way he wanted to do it. He wanted to change God's word to fit his lifestyle rather than changing himself and applying himself to God's word, God's plan, God's promises, God's precepts, God's teachings, God's word. That was what was wrong with Cain's offering, was that it was not given from a heart of being opened up and changed to the will of God. So many never seem to be satisfied with God's word. So many seem to want to change it, have it their way. Change it, make it possibly easier. Change to fit their lifestyle. Trying to make it more convenient to fit into my lifestyle rather than changing me to fit into God's word, God's plan, God's blessings that He is willing to give upon me. Mankind has had a reputation for trying to change the Word of God ever since Cain and Abel. Turn, if you will, to 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. I'm going to read a few verses there. 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. Naaman was not satisfied with the word given him by Elisha. He came to the man of God, the prophet of God, and he was not very pleased with what he heard from the prophet of God. He didn't like the word that he heard. He wanted to change it, have it his own way. Now, time is of the essence this morning. I'm not going to get into full explanations of it. It pretty much explains itself as we read. 2 Kings 5, starting with verse 1. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Fully faith. No questions asked. If he just go see him, he'd be cured. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robe and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door. In other words, he went with his rider truck and his two U-Hauls and the car carriers and all of this. He hauled all these goods and took it with him. So Naaman went to him, to Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, before he came to his house, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you'll be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and boy, make the clouds roll, and then healing would be taking place. Surely he would do something like that." So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy or a newborn baby. See, he wasn't happy with what he was being told. He wanted to see fireworks. He wanted to see the mighty power of God. But he was told to go dip in that muddy creek, I'd call it, but the Jordan River. Go down there and dip yourself and seven times, and you'll come up cleansed, clean, cured. So his own servants had to convince him, well, you know, if he had told you to go slay 1,000 of these and collect 1,000,000 of those and do this and do that, why, you'd have just been Johnny on the spot to go get it done, because that's what a great man would do. But how simple it is. All he asks you to do is just go down there in that water and just dip yourself seven times. Something, such a simple thing. But he wanted to change the words of God. He wanted to change the will of God and the prophet of God to fit what he thought it should be. He wanted to put it in his box. You're talking about the old saying, thinking out of the box. He wanted to take God's word and put it in his box instead of leaving it in God's box, which is so much larger and encompasses all other boxes, all other lives, all of mankind, this entire earth. There is such power in the Word of God when we confess it, when we accept it, when we apply our lives to it, the Word of God, the will of God, the way of God. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, back to Hebrews again. Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an accounting. A few other scriptures, if you want to write them down to look up later. I just want to share some of these with you quickly. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, the prophet Isaiah, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The decision of for you and for me is, will I allow myself to apply myself to God's word so that I can be one of the instruments which God uses to fulfill this that He has plans and promises to do. It will not return to me empty. God's word will not return to him empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. We can be the tool that God can fill with his desire and his will to carry it forth to do his will. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The bread that we will take of in just a few moments, symbolizing the body of Christ, that bread does not save us. It symbolizes, it's a symbol. This symbolizes what it is that saves us, and that is the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus the Christ. And when we apply ourselves to the Lamb, and the Word of God in the flesh, who is the Lamb, Jesus the Christ, we find that God will speak through our mouths and through our lives, and not only give us blessing, but unto others as well. In 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. We must grow a desire to digest the Word of God. We must grow that desire to digest the Word of God. In Proverbs 4:20 and 23, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Skipping down now to Isaiah 40, verses 8 and 9. We're to declare the good news of the Lord. Isaiah 40. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but you know everything passes away. Everything returns back to the dirt. Dust. But the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. This is a great lesson for you and for me. to take this personally. That go wherever we do and proclaim, here is the Word of God. It is all powerful. And so go and proclaim it, as it was mentioned in Isaiah. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You want to speed the coming of the Lord? Speed the day that the Lord will return and that the resurrection shall take place of all the faithful of all generations since Adam and Eve. You want to see that time come, the millennial reign of Christ, and then when He turns the kingdom, the new heavens, the new earth, all over to God His Father, and we become together the children of God, the brothers and sisters of Jesus, the Son of God. You want to speed its coming and it's happening? Do you really believe it? Do you really have faith that God will do what He says He will do? Share it with other people. Because as this scripture says, Matthew 24:14, Jesus Himself says, preach it to the whole world, a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And finally, Romans 1:16-17, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. What is faith? I've shared it many times the last couple months in the different series I've done. I call it simply trusting that God will do what God says He will do. Just like Abraham. And it was accredited unto him as righteousness. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb, the door to the coming kingdom. He is the one that is the Word of God, the salvation of God, the great power of God in the flesh to be our brother, a child of God. I'd like to ask the elders and those who are assisting to serve communion this morning to come forward and take their places. As we open our hearts, open our lives unto the Lord, and to take of the bread, which symbolizes the body of Christ, which was bruised for us and pierced in His side, His hands, His feet, dying so that we may have the opportunity to live. The cup, which symbolizes the blood which flowed, and the cup of death, which He was to swallow, to digest, to take upon and within Himself, being the Son of God, the Lamb to the slaughter, paying the price, so that you and I, though appointed to die once, and then the judgment, may live forever in God's coming kingdom. Let us go to the Lord at this time as we partake of the communion emblems together.